crowd. It's still 1937. This is the book 5. Okay. The 7th day of a retreat. I've come to a knowledge of my destiny, that is, an inward certainty that I will attain sanctity. This deep conviction has filled my soul with gratitude to God, and I have given back all the glory to God, because I know very well what I am of myself. Disaster. Only with the Lord we are something, with Him. I'm coming out of this retreat thoroughly transformed by God's love. My soul is beginning a new life, earnestly and courageously. Although outwardly my life will not change and no one will notice it, nevertheless, pure love is the guide of my life, and it, externally, it is mercy which is its fruit. So, mercy is the fruit of love. Yeah, the fruit of love. I feel that I have been totally imbued with God and with this God. I'm going back to my everyday life, so dragged, tiresome and wearisome, trusting that He, whom I feel in my heart, will change this dreadness into my personal sanctity. So, when you come to church, you feel so purified, so light. Going off to church, you go back to the same routine, maybe you drag down. That's what she's experiencing, no? In the retreat for 9 days, 8 days, so up in the heaven. She said, I have to go back to the life, the same as tiredness. No. This is life. But change inwardly. She said, outwardly, nobody can notice. But I'm new, in the sense that I live only with pure love. And that's the fruit is mercy. In profound silence, close to your merciful heart, my soul is maturing during this retreat. In the clear rays of your love, my soul has lost its tartness and has become a sweet and white fruit with Him. We can be sweet. Now I can be wholly useful to the church by my personal sanctity, which drops with life in the whole church, for we all make up one organism in Jesus. That is why I endeavor to make the soil of my heart bear good fruit. Although the human eye may perhaps never see it, there will nevertheless come a day when it will become apparent that many souls have been fed and will continue to be fed with this fruit. So you can imagine she suffered so much to promote this divine mercy. Nobody believed. Just a picture. Just 2 rays. You know, that's simple. A nun in a convent in Poland. Nobody knows. You know, bishops and yeah, okay. They go to room and take so many years, until the year 2000. From 1937, how many 60s? 17 years, 70. This work of Jesus. Eh? O eternal love, who enkindle a new life within me, a life of love and of mercy, support me with your grace, so that I may worthily answer your call, so that what you yourself have intended to accomplish in souls through me might indeed be accomplished. So she's preparing the way to the future, that we follow the way, follow her way, follow the way of Jesus. No? She suffered, offered for us. She's now in heaven, praying for us. My God, I see the radiance of eternal dawn. My whole soul bounds toward you, O Lord. Nothing any longer holds me back. Nothing ties me on earth. Happy, O Lord, to bear the rest of my days with patience. The sacrifice of my love burns incessantly before your majesty, but so silently that only your divine eye sees it, O God, and no other creature is capable of perceiving it. So live our internal life, very important. You don't have to show off what you have, what you are, but with life, you must be close. You must be another's Faustina. What was the use to meditate on her meditations and her diary, and then you do the same other thing? You waste your time. Be another Faustina, right? We are called. Her footsteps. Oh my God, although so many things occupied me, although I have this work at heart, although I desire the triumph of the church and the salvation of the souls, although all the persecutions of your faithful ones affect me, although the fall of each soul is painful to me, yet above and beyond all this, I still have a profound peace in my soul, which neither triumphs, nor desires, nor adversities can disturb, because for me, you are above all dispensations, my Lord and my God. Apart from so many disturbances. Each day, O my Lord, while calling to mind all your blessings in the presence of your most sacred heart, I felt the need to be particularly grateful for so many graces and blessings from God. I want to plunge myself in thanksgiving before the majesty of God and to continue in this prayer of thanksgiving for 7 days and 7 nights. And although I will outwardly carry out all my duties, my spirit will nonetheless stand continually before the Lord, and all the exercises will be imbued with the spirit of thanksgiving. Each evening, I renew for half an hour in my cell, along with the Lord. So apart from praying the chapel for adoration, before going to bed, kneel on the floor for half an hour. See, just to pray. Stay with me. Each evening, I renew for a half hour in my cell, alone with the Lord. And often as I shall awake at night, I shall steep myself in prayer of thanksgiving. In this way, I want to repay, at least in some small way, for the immensity of God's blessings. This is trust. We always say, we are not enough blessing. We complain, not enough. But she's giving thanks to all the graces. However, in order to make all this more pleasing in the eye of God and to remove the least shadow of doubt from my mind, I went to my spiritual director for the undress and revealed these desires of my soul to him. That is to say, the desire to steep in such thanksgiving. I received permission for everything except that I should not force myself to pray at night should I awaken. So when you awaken, go back to sleep. The rest, before going back, half an hour. It's nice, eh? By that time, you're half asleep, no? That your soul is always one with the Lord already before you go to bed. Is it beautiful? Just prepare yourself. With what great joy I returned to the convent. And on the next day, I began this great act of thanksgiving by renewing my vows. My soul became thoroughly immersed in God. And there issued from my whole being but one single flame of gratitude and thanksgiving to God. There were not many words, because God's blessings lay a fierce fire consumed my soul. and all sufferings and sorrows were like wood thrown into the flames, after which the fire would not go out. I called upon all heaven and earth to join me in my act of thanksgiving. The retreat has come to an end. Those beautiful days of communing along with the Lord Jesus. I made this retreat in the way Jesus wanted me to make it, and as he had hold me on the first day of the retreat, that is, in the deepest peace. I meditated on God's blessings. I've never made a retreat like this before. My soul was more profoundly strengthened by this peace than it would have been by any tremors or emotions. In the rays of love, I saw everything as it really is. Coming out of this retreat, I feel thoroughly transformed by God's love. O Lord, deify my actions so that they will merit eternity. Although my weakness is great, I trust in the power of your grace, which will sustain me. My Jesus, you know that from my earliest years, I have wanted to become a great saint. That is to say, I wanted to love you with a love so great that there would be no soul who have hitherto loved you so. At first, these desires of mine were kept secret. Only Jesus knew of them. But today, I cannot contain them within myself, my heart. I would like to cry out to the whole world, love God, because he is good and great is mercy. Oh, humdrum days filled with darkness, I look upon you with a solemn and festive eye. How great and solemn is the time that gives us the chance to gather merit for eternal heaven. I understand how the saints made use of it. October 30th, 1937. Today, during religious ceremonies taking place during Mass and the second day of Thanksgiving, I saw the Lord Jesus in great beauty, and he said to me, "My daughter, I have not released you from taking action." I answered, "Lord, my hand is so feeble for such work." Jesus said, "Yes, I know, but join with my right hand, you will accomplish everything. Nevertheless, be obedient to the confessors. I will give them lights on how to direct you." "Lord, I already wanted to begin the work in your name, but Father Sopoko keeps putting it off." Jesus answered me, "I know. So do just what is within your power, but you must never withdraw your efforts." November 1st, 1937. After Vespers today, there was a procession to the cemetery. I would not go because I was on duty at the gates. But that did not stop me at all from praying for the souls. As the procession was returning from the cemetery to the chapel, my soul felt the presence of many souls. I understood the great justice of God, how each one had to pay off the debt to the last cents. That means he felt the souls in purgatory, asking for help. The Lord gave me an occasion to practice patience through a particular person with whom I have to carry out a certain task. She is slower than anyone I have ever seen. One has to arm oneself with great patience to listen to her tedious talk. There are some people, you know, so slow. November 5th. This morning, five unemployed men came to the gates and insisted on being let in. When Sister Anne had argued with them for quite a while and could not make them go away. She then came to the chapel to find Mother Irene, who told me to go to talk with these five men, gentlemen. He wanted to come in. When I was still a good way from the gates, I could hear them banging loudly the door. At first, I was overcome with doubt and fear, and I didn't know whether to open the gates or, like Sister Anne, to answer them through the little window. But suddenly, I heard a voice in my soul saying, "Go and open the gates and talk to them as sweetly as you talk to me." Jesus' words. We sometimes are afraid. You know, some people, you don't know what happened, better you keep a distance. No, Jesus, come, talk to them as sweet as possible as you talk to me. I opened the gates at once and approached the most menacing of them and began to speak to them with such sweetness and calm that they didn't know what to do with themselves. And they too began to speak gently and said, "Well, it's too bad that the common can't give us work." And they went away peacefully. I felt clearly that Jesus, whom I received in Holy Communion just an hour before, had worked in their hearts through me. Oh, how good it is to act under God's inspiration. And so good at times that you don't know what to do with some people, some job, some task, or you want to get away, get rid of. Jesus, what should I do? I felt worse today, and I went to Mother Superior, intending to ask for the permission to go to bed again. However, before I could ask for permission, Mother Superior said to me, "Sister, you must somehow manage by yourself at the gates, because I'm taking the girl to work at the garbage, since there is no one else for the garbage." I said, "Good," and left the room. When I got to the gates, I felt unusually strong, and I was in my post all day and felt well. I experienced the power of holy obedience. Many times you think what is the best, but you know, I don't know, you have superior also, no? November 10th, 1937, when Mother Irene showed me the booklet with the chaplet, the litany, and the novena, I asked her to let me look it over. And I was glancing through it. Jesus gave me to know in theory, already there are many souls who have been drawn to my love by this image. My mercy acts in souls through this work. Already published, Jesus' work. I think this with humility, no? Trust. Seeing this, you can see, oh, just a simple picture. But seeing this, just reminding us how Jesus loves you so much, is pouring out his graces to us, and we just keep an eye away from it. That means to say, the action itself helps our soul go towards him. It helps. Depends on how we see things. You see a person, you can see very awful. But you say, "How nice, Jesus is here." The same, you know. We want to wait, "Oh, this, no, simple, simple, simple. Oh, this picture, very simple." Yeah, this person is simple. But Jesus is there. But the love of God showed there is a sign. So beautiful, huh? Already there are many souls who have been drawn to my love by this image already, because the superior is showing to the printer, to the bishop, and to the priests, you know, the curia, so whether they can print this or not, because they do have to get permission, no? So everybody knows it, and God grace. I learned that many souls had experienced God's grace. I learned that Mother Superior would have quite a heavy cross to bear, together with physical suffering, but that it would not last long. You see, whatever you do for the glory of God, somebody have to pay for it. She paid the Lord, even to Superior, even through the picture. People, yeah, that's right. People get a grace, and here they have to see, she had to suffer physically also. It occurred to me to take my medicine, not by spoonful, but just a little at a time, because it was expensive. Instantly, I heard a voice, "My daughter, I do not like such conduct. Accept with gratitude everything I give you through the superiors. In this way, you will please me more." That means you take, if one spoonful, one spoonful. Don't just half spoonful, very expensive. Sometimes at altar point, we have a good incense. It's very expensive, just only half. For the Lord. And they just. I like the father, the patron for the priest. Vianney, the Saint Vianney, the Saint Jean Vianney. He said, although he's very poor, he lived in poverty, but the church is not poor. He gave the best vestment, the best chalice for the Holy Mass, for the Lord, should be best. The candle should be the best. Not just because we are poor, so poor candle, poor chalice, and poor, what you call, vestment. No, everything should be beautiful for the Lord. That's what we call Sunday best. Sunday's best.